Curiosity and the desire to overcome challenges has led mountaineers to climb the world's highest peaks. They use specialized equipment to reach each summit. People from all over the world practice this challenging sport, whether out of passion, the desire to conquer obstacles, or perhaps the excitement of skirting death. But the risks are high and there have been many fatalities over the years. The Mystery Archive today presents the intriguing story of the Dyatlov Pass incident, an inexplicable mystery which has perplexed the world for years. The Dyatlov Pass incident took place on February 2, 1959. It involved the mysterious death of nine skiers in the northern Ural Mountains, the oldest mountain range in the world, which is located in Russia. The group was originally made up of 8 men and 2 women, all students or graduates of the Ural Polytechnic Institute. The objective of the 14-day expedition was to reach the top of Gora Otorten, a 1,200 meters high mountain. This route at that time was classified as Category 3, the most difficult. All members had experience in long ski tours and mountain expeditions, so the route was a challenge that everyone wanted to complete. However, in the local indigenous language, Mansi Gora Otorten means don't go there. The surnames of all the members are quite complicated to pronounce, so I'm leaving their full names in the description of the photo of this case on Instagram. Here, I will only mention the first name and the course in which he was studying or had graduated from. Semyon, 38, physical education. Alexander, 24, nuclear physics. Yuri K, 23, construction and hydraulics. And I say K referring to the first letter of his surname, as there are 2 more Yuris in the group. But don't worry, I organize the information in a way that doesn't get confusing for you. Nikolai, 23, civil engineering. Rustam, 23, engineering and technology. Zinaida, 23, radio engineering. Yuri Y, 21, engineering. Yuri D, 21, radio engineering. Lyudmila, 20, engineering and economics. And the group was led by Igor Dyatlov, 23, radio engineering. On January 25th, the party arrived by train in Ivdel, a city in the center of the province of Sverdlovsk Oblast. That same night, they boarded a truck to Vizhai, the nearest location to the start of the expedition. They arrived there on the 26th and rested. They would set off the next morning. Their journey to Gora Otorten began on the 27th and the following day. During the expedition walk, one of the group members, Yuri Yudin, was struck down by a debilitating pain. He could not continue and decided to turn back. The group intended to return on the 12th, the date Igor had agreed to send a telegram to the university, informing them of their return. The group, now 9 people, followed the route to their destination. According to information from a local guide and records found in the skiers' diaries and their photographs, the group traversed a river valley with their supplies and tents. On January 31st, they arrived at the edge of a hill. There they decided to leave some of the food and equipment that would not be needed on the climb. They would pick it up on the return journey. So, on February 1st, the group set off on their long-awaited trek, and this is where things started to go wrong. Even with all the experience they had, they could not have predicted the worsening local weather conditions. Lyudmila complained that it was very cold. She couldn't feel her face and her feet sank really deep into the snow. There is no exact information on how many degrees Celsius it was at that time. Websites and documentaries convey this information differently, varying between minus 10 and minus 40 degrees. Regardless of how negative the weather was, we have some idea of how cold it was. But even so, it is believed that the group made the decision to continue with the expedition. They headed west, climbing towards the top of Kolat Siakal, the Mountain of the Dead in Mansi dialect. When they realized that this was a mistake, it was too late in the day. They decided to make camp. They would wait for the weather to improve before continuing on later. No one heard from the group for the next 3 weeks. Such delays are common in this type of expedition when the conditions are poor, but it was already February 20th, 8 days after the date on which Igor was supposed to send the telegram to the university. The families were worried, and the Polytechnic Institute sent a search party made up of student volunteers to look for them. They were assisted by the Russian authorities. Following the last known locations of the expedition team, the volunteers soon discovered the first sign of a tragedy. The scene of the incident that took place on the Mountain of the Dead shocked the search group and intrigued the families of the victims and Russian society in general. We will tell you what we were able to learn about this sad story, which remains a mystery to this day. The first thing they found was the group's tent. It was covered in snow, and inside there were only items such as boots and some food on plates, which indicated that the group had been about to eat. They also discovered that the tent had been cut open from the inside, suggesting that they had been desperate to get out. But what made them abandon the tent in such a hurry? And where did they go? That same day, the team found something even stranger. Footprints that looked as if they had been made by people wearing socks or on barefoot. They continued for a few meters and then disappeared into the snow. It is known that on February 27th, the group arrived at the edge of a nearby forest. Under a large and ancient pine tree were the remains of a bonfire, and the bodies of Yuri K and Yuri D, barefoot and wearing only their underwear. The tree's branches were broken up to 5 meters high. Forensic tests later confirmed that traces of skin from both their hands were embedded in the stem. This indicated that the pair had made an intense, desperate attempt to climb the tree, remained on the branches for some time, and then fell to the ground. Between the pine tree and the camp were 3 other bodies, frozen and in a position that suggested they were trying to return to the tents. They were situated some distance from each other. Some 300 meters from the pine was Igor Dyatlov, the leader, 480 meters, Rustam Slobodin, and 630 meters, Zinaida Kolmogorova. A medical examination found no injuries to explain the deaths. Igor had several wounds, bruises, and scratches on his body. Rustam had wounds on his left hand, face, and he had a fractured skull. But this fracture was not thought to be the cause of his death. Zinaida had countless wounds on her face and hands. On the left side of her waist, a significant bruise was identified that appeared to have been caused by a club or baseball bat. The actual cause of death was hypothermia. The bodies then froze in the low temperature. The last 4 bodies were found 3 months later, on May 5th, in a ravine, when the snow melted. An examination of these bodies changed the entire course of the investigation. Nikolai had major damage to his skull. The coroner's report suggested that the damage to his head could have been the result of a fall. Alexander's eyebrows and part of his nose were missing, and he had wounds on his ear and neck. Semyon's eyeballs were missing. The skin on his left eyebrow was removed, and there was a wound on the right side of his skull. 10 fractures were also found on his ribs on the right side. But it was Lyudmila who caught everyone's attention the most. She had several small holes on her face, as if small pieces of skin had been removed with a fingernail, and she had 14 fractures on her ribs. According to the coroner, the force necessary to inflict such a wound would have to have been extremely powerful. He compared it to the impact of a car crash. Notably, the bodies had no external wounds in the rib area, and their lips, tongue, and eyeballs were also not found. The group appeared to have been aware of their plight and had done everything possible to save themselves. They dug a den in the snow and lined it with branches in an effort to stay warm. But things got even more bizarre when some of the bodies and clothing were identified as being radioactive. Yuri, the only survivor who had returned early due to injury, went to the site to officially identify the bodies. He helped the search team to piece together the narrative, confirming which clothes and objects belonged to whom. And here things start to get a little strange. He was sure that the group had taken two diaries, but only one was found. A camera was missing. Yuri said he was sure the group had taken four, but they only found three, and several rolls of photographic film were missing. The Soviet authorities were unable to discover much and closed the investigations that same year, in 1959, with the record that some unknown natural force had caused the group's death. These scenes compare to a horror film, and they still intrigue today. There are many theories on what could have happened. However, here at the Mystery Archive, we are going to comment on just a few, the most discussed on the internet and in documentaries.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui no Pátria Amada Criminal.
Let's start with the Yeti theory. More popularly known as the Abominable Snowman, the Yeti has its origins in a legend which said it was descended from the mating of a monkey with an ogress. It is present in several cultures around the world, especially extremely hostile and mountainous places, such as the Ural Mountains in Russia. It is about 2 meters tall and is often related to another well-known creature, Bigfoot. To date, it has not been possible to prove its existence. However, the legend gains momentum when inexplicable things like this happen. The fact that the expertise indicates that the tent was torn open from the inside and that the young people were found without clothes suggests a panicked escape. Furthermore, the tent also had small tears on the bottom that appear to have been made to spy out into the forest. In one of the photos, you can see a very strange image of the silhouette of a very large man, as if he were watching them or heading towards them. But this could actually be a person wearing winter clothing, perhaps one of the Mansi people. These people live close to the site of the incident. During the investigations, they reported that they did see the group nearby and that they warned them about the dangers of the expedition. The name given by the Mansi to the place, Mountain of the Dead, is due to the fact that these people believe in the existence of powerful forces in the forest who do not like those who alter and destroy the place. A second theory involves alien forces. Another group that camped close to the location witnessed on the night of the first to the early hours of the second lights flying over the area. And then we return to another of the photographs, the image of the sky, very dark, but with lights in some points. This group had no idea about this photo, and this information ended up leaving many with a flea behind their ears. This theory suggests that perhaps the internal fractures, the change in skin colour, and the paralysis of the bodies were consequences of an alien attack. A third, very short theory simply explains that they all died due to exposure and that what happened to Semyon and Lyudmila was due to wild animals in the region who were scavenging for food. But normally, animals don't focus on specific parts of their prey's body. A fourth theory proposes that it was all caused by a military accident, covered up by the Russian government. There are records of aerial bombs being tested by the Russian military in the area at the time. This involves some elements of theory too and explains the lights, which perhaps were aircraft. The detonated bombs could have caused the injuries to the climbers, heavy internal damage with very little external trauma. Other theories include the use of sound waves which caused mental confusion in the group and which would explain their desperation and running without clothes. This theory, which speculates that radioactive weapons were used, is based partly on the discovery of radioactive material on their clothing, as well as their colour-changed skin. It is worth mentioning that although there are records of military forces operating in the area, no evidence of their activities was found. This does not guarantee that between the day of the events and the day the search group first found the bodies, the military had not cleaned up the area. They may even have taken the camera and diary that Yuri noted missing while helping the investigative team. If this was the case, there is a possibility that the scene was altered. A fifth theory considers avalanches. Perhaps they heard the approaching danger coming. They tried to open the tent to escape, but they couldn't. They ended up tearing it up and leaving without getting dressed. In the new location they waited, and sometime later part of the group tried to return to get clothes and equipment, but on their way back, they perished. In this theory, five of the nine had managed to escape, the two who were found near the tree, and the three who were found as if they were returning to the tent. The other four were unable to escape and would have been caught by the avalanche. However, this cannot explain the fact that some of these victims were missing parts of their bodies. I have brought you some of the most talked about theories, but there is a website dedicated just to this subject that presents various information about before, during, and after the incident, including 23 theories about the reasons that could have caused all this. The website is dyatlovpass.com. Who or what could have caused these deaths in such a remote area? Doubts still hang over the case, so much so that 60 years later, in 2019, Russian authorities reopened the investigation into the incident, and the scientists' conclusion may frustrate lovers of conspiracy theories. The main cause of the deaths was an avalanche. Johann Gohm, director of the Avalanche Simulation Laboratory at EPFL, and Alexander Puzrin, a geotechnical engineer at ETH Zurich, teamed up and created computer simulations to try to replicate the times when the climbers lost their lives. Studies reveal that the site had a slope of 30 degrees, the minimum requirement for a possible avalanche. The digging the group did in the snow to erect the tent destabilized the slope. Additionally, the very strong winds that occurred that night caused quantities of snow to move towards the camp, increasing the pressure on the slope. They also turned to the animators from the film Frozen to help with the simulations. They modified the snow animation to suit the simulated models of the location to test the impact that a small avalanche would have on the human body. They were able to prove that a block of snow 5 meters long could cause very violent injuries, like those found on the nine victims. During the night, while the group slept, a layer of fresh snow could have accumulated just above the excavated tent indentation, then broken away from the lower layer. As for the injuries, investigators argue that the idea that the avalanche could not have caused them is misleading. They discovered in their models that if the group was sleeping on their backs in a certain position in the tent, the angle at which the snow hit them would be enough to break bones. But the specific injuries, the missing tongue, lips, and eyeballs, this is something that no one can explain. The conclusion is that a small and sudden avalanche occurred on the site and left little trace for investigators who arrived several weeks later. Students who were not immediately hurt may have torn down the tent to escape, carrying the injured with them. Unfortunately, everyone ultimately succumbed to the extreme cold. This investigation, which began in 2019, became public in 2020. The published version does not reveal all the points investigated, but it makes the avalanche hypothesis plausible based on solid scientific data, without the need for any supernatural or conspiratorial element. Since the incident, the mountain route where the incident occurred has been called the Dyatlov Pass, based on the surname of the group's leader, Igor Dyatlov. Yuri Yudin, the only survivor of the group, died on April 27, 2013, at the age of 75. In honor of the group, a tomb with a photo of all members is located in the Mikhajlok Cemetery in the city of Yekaterinburg.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui, no Pátria Amada Criminal.